You can avoid these landmines.
It's a buy versus build conversation.
What's the root cause of that mistake?
Very moved by your story.
Dive all in on the next chapter of your life.
Welcome to the Boutique Case Study Series with Capital 54, a podcast for owners of professional services firms. My goal with this show is to help you grow, scale, and sell your firm at the right time, for the right price, and on the right terms. I'm Sean McGinnis, CEO of Capital 54, and your host. On this episode, I will make the case you do not want to be trapped inside a lifestyle business. The opportunity cost of spending your prime in a lifestyle business is too large. I'll try to prove this theory by interviewing Greg Alexander, Chief Investment Officer and founder of Capital 54. Greg has developed a three-part framework to address this issue, and today he'll demonstrate how to use it. Hey, Greg, welcome.
Hey, Sean, good to be with you. Big, big topic today. Let's see if we can help some folks escape the trap of a lifestyle business.
Fantastic. You know, it reminds me of Harry Houdini, right? We've got to give them that capability. So, Greg, can you provide a brief overview of your three-part framework?
Sure. Let's start by identifying the signs of this trap. Listeners are wondering if they are trapped or will they become trapped? Our listeners tend to be people who do not want a lifestyle business. They want to scale to something more substantial. So here are some thoughts to help diagnose if you are trapped. And Sean, allow me a little leeway here because
absolutely,
I've got a few things to share.
Please.
A lifestyle business is an average business. It's not a bad business. It's not a good business. It's certainly not a great business. It's okay. It provides a decent living. It does not require an unreasonable level of effort. It fits nicely into one's lifestyle with a wonderful work-life balance. It's better than working for a soulless big corporation. Owners of a lifestyle business are never going to get rich. And for some, that's okay. Lifestyle firms are never going to, quote, put a dent in the universe, as the great Steve Jobs used to say.
Yes.
They're not going to attract the most interesting clients with the most fascinating problems. A lifestyle business will be filled with really nice people, but maybe not top talent. Top talent avoids lifestyle businesses. They want to grow, to be stretched, and to really go for it. And there's nothing wrong with a lifestyle business at all. For many, this is perfect. However, many who are operating a lifestyle business today wish they were not. They launch their firms with higher ambitions and with different intentions, but they fell into a trap unknowingly. The trap is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. When things are quote unquote fine, there is no reason to break glass or rock the boat. The bills are getting paid. The grief factor is low. The founder is happy. Life is all right. The problem is complacency sets in. Year after year passes by. The founder has been lulled to sleep. Then one day he or she wakes up and says, I want something more from life. My life's work should mean something. Someday I'm going to want to retire and I'm going to need to sell my firm. I do not want to keep doing this into my 60s, 70s, and God forbid beyond that. I better turn this into more than a lifestyle business or I'm never going to be financially secure. This trap carries a huge cost. The cost I'm referring to is the opportunity cost. And this cost can be quantified. Let me give you an example. A boutique life cycle is approximately 15 years from cradle to grave. Ask yourself at the end of the 15 years, what do you have to show for your effort? Compare this to what you might have had if you took a different path, whatever that different path may be. And in my experience, this produces a gap, and the gap is big. Let me share some data to make my point, and then we can jump into the three-part framework.
Excellent.
A lifestyle business in ProServe has about 20 employees, doing about $4 million in revenue, and approximately $800K in profit. An owner of this type of business will pay him or herself about $500,000 a year. After taxes, this is about, let's say, $250,000, $300,000, depending on where you live. And after you satisfy your living expenses, maybe you're gonna save about $100,000 per year. So over a 15-year period, that's $1.5 million. Or maybe a little more due to investment returns. Let's round it up to a cool $2 million. This is not enough to be financially secure. Given inflation and life expectancy increases, in reality, it's not enough for much of anything. The cost of living 15 years from now is going to be much higher, especially in key areas such as healthcare.
Yep.
So under this hypothetical approach, you're going to work yourself right into the cemetery. If I compare this outcome to the alternatives, it doesn't compare well. Heck, you might be better off with a civil service job at 40 hours a week, 3 weeks of vacation, and a pension. There are other ways to spend your prime, your career, that will produce a lot more. And you, the brave founder, the person who creates jobs for people, you're worth more than that. And I feel the saddest thing in life is a wasted prime. So I wanted to come and speak to you today and urge you not to waste your prime and avoid the trap of a lifestyle business. Does that make sense, Sean?
Greg, it makes 100% sense. I mean, this is so important. It's a wake-up call for many. I see it all the time, and I know you do. The good news is we are making our listeners aware of it, so hopefully they can avoid this trap. So, Greg, if I'm someone who is concerned with this, what would I do?
Okay, good question. So this is where the three-part framework comes in. So a founder of a boutique has three options if trapped in a lifestyle business. So option number one is to shut the business down and do something else. Option number two is to pivot. This means to course correct before it's too late. And option number three is to persevere. And this means to stay the course.
Okay, Greg, so three options: shut down, pivot, or persevere. You provided me three checklists, one for each option, to help listeners determine which option is best for them, and I'd like to have you demonstrate each checklist for the audience. I'll take you through each option and get your recommendations on each. So, option one is shut the business down, and there are four questions to answer. Number one, are we out of moves?
Yeah, so if you're contemplating shutting the business down, it's a tough thing to think about. So are we out of moves? What does that mean? Well, have you tried everything you can? Have you studied all the best practices? Have you tried to get them implemented? Have you sourced all the best advice? If you've already done all that and you're still in a lifestyle business, shut it down. The opportunity cost is too great. If you haven't exhausted all of the best practices and the advice that's available to you, then keep going. But make a commitment to yourself that you're going to implement some of the things that you learned.
Excellent. So number two is, are we miserable? Do we hate the clients, our coworkers, etc.?
Yeah, so you're contemplating shutting the business down. That's the section we're on right now. That's option one.
Yep.
You know, if you're miserable, if you hate coming to work every day, or if you find yourself daydreaming about something else to do, then your heart's not in it. So if you find yourself in that situation, then you're better off to shut the business down. If you're not in that situation, if you still love what you're doing, then stick with it, because you probably can crack the code.
Excellent. So again, in the context of shutting the business down, this question is, do you still believe in the vision for your business?
Yeah. So one thing I learned in my journey is the vision changes over time. You know, when I look back at the original vision I had for myself, my ambition was modest. As time went on and I had some success, my ambition kept expanding. So periodically, it's a wise move to take a pause and say to yourself, hey, if I realize my current vision, am I going to fulfill my dreams? The answer to that question is yes, then don't shut the business down. Keep going for it. If the answer to that question is no, then what are you doing? You're running in place. You're pursuing a vision that, even if you're successful, isn't worth it.
Yep. And then the fourth one on this is the window of opportunity closing?
Yeah, and this is the one that's outside the control of the founder. So are you running out of time? Are your competitors beating you? Are there lots more competitors coming into the market today? So this window of opportunity, all businesses have one. You got to make sure, you know, is that window open? How long is it going to be open for? And that's a critical thing to consider if you're contemplating shutting the business down.
Yep. Excellent. Thank you, Greg. So the next option is to pivot. Pivot, it's an overused term. You feel there are seven types of pivots specifically for boutique professional services firms. Let's see if we can get through these efficiently. So the first one is what you term a zoom-in pivot, where a single feature becomes the whole service offering. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, so if you're going to pivot, you're not going to shut the business down. You want to get out of a lifestyle business. One of the pivots to consider is the zoom-in pivot. And this means sometimes founders over-engineer their service offerings. So this type of pivot would result in a much simpler service to deliver, which will mean much higher profits. And with those profits, you can fund your expansion plan. And if successful, you'll get yourself out of a lifestyle business. So if you answer yes to this question, then execute a service offering pivot. If you answer no, then the solution to a lifestyle business trap is not associated with a zoom-in pivot.
Excellent, Greg. The next one is a zoom-out pivot. The current service becomes only a feature. What are your thoughts on this?
So this is the flip side of that coin. So sometimes a service line is not compelling enough. There are things that need to be added to it to compel clients to buy it. So ask yourself that question, you know, the problem that my client is having, can I truly solve it? If you can't, then you're going to have to add things to your service line. So if you find yourself in that situation, then you might want to execute the zoom out pivot. If you don't, you probably should not.
Excellent, Greg. The third is client segment pivot, a shift to a new set of target clients. Unpack that for us.
Yeah, so oftentimes owners of lifestyle businesses are unclear as to who their ideal client really is. And this results in wasting resources pursuing the wrong business. And lifestyle businesses are resource constrained. There's only so much time, there's only so much money, there's only so many staff members. So you can't waste these resources. So getting really tight on who that client is, that ideal client is super important. And ask yourself, the client you're serving today, are they going to get you out of the trap of a lifestyle business? If the answer is no, then execute a client segment pivot. Go after a different client with a different set of problems.
Very important. Greg, number four, a client problem pivot. So the current problem of focus is not urgent enough. This is critical, Greg. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, so this is the kissing cousin of the client segment pivot, mm-hmm. right? So sometimes lifestyle boutique founders, they're selling vitamins, not painkillers. So this pivot would be going after only urgent problems that our clients are willing to pay to solve. I see this all the time. Somebody launches a firm, it's a nice to have, there's a small number of clients that are willing to hire you for that nice to have, and then you stall up because the problem isn't urgent, it's not pervasive. So by definition, you're trapped in a lifestyle business.
Yep, makes total sense. Number five is a business architecture pivot. And there are two types of business architectures. One, high margin, low volume, we call elephant hunting. Number two, low margin, high volume, rabbit hunting. What are your thoughts on this?
So this is a big one. Founders trapped in a lifestyle boutique try to run two business models at the same time. There's never enough money. There's never enough talent to pull that off. This pivot would be to focus on one business architecture and be good at it. The added commentary I'd give you here is we tend to lie to ourselves on this. We like to say we apply discretion to the type of business we take. It's really not true. Sometimes in the early stages, especially if you're a lifestyle business, all revenue is good revenue. That's a trap. Mm-hmm. That's the trap that puts you in the lifestyle trap. So avoid that. Pick the business architecture you're going to fall with, elephants or rabbits, and stick to it.
I like that, Greg, very much. Number six is value capture pivot. This is a monetization model change. For example, should you switch from hourly billings to retainers, fixed bids, performance-based contracts, licensing, subscriptions, events, or royalties? What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, so this is where all the breakouts are happening right now. So if we try to role model ourselves after companies that have escaped the trap of a lifestyle business. What do they share in common? Well, services firms are productizing their services, which allows them to switch their pricing strategy or their monetization strategy. And because they're able to do that, they can go from one-time fees to recurring revenue. And there's probably nothing more powerful than escaping a lifestyle business than recurring revenue. So this is one everybody should be thinking about, this value capture pivot. And the ingredient to execute that is the ability to productize your services.
Greg, I couldn't agree with you more. And if you and I look at our members within Collector 54, those that are truly scaling have recognized the value of this capture pivot. You know, they're monetizing, they're expanding their service line and their revenue sources. It's remarkable what some of them are doing. And for our listeners, you know, consider looking at Collector 54 from that standpoint, because it'll add tremendous value to your enterprise value when you decide to sell one day.
Yep.
So Greg, number seven, go-to-market pivot. There are three types of go-to-market approaches of a boutique. One is viral, so word of mouth and referrals. Two, what we call sticky, landing and expanding in the client. And three, paid, outbound, cold outreach, and marketing support to drive inbound. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, so historically, the most common cause of being trapped in a lifestyle business is the lack of a commercial sales engine. Founders rely solely on word of mouth and referrals. Well, this eventually runs dry as a personal network is finite. So if your only source of leads is word of mouth, you are trapped and you're going to stay trapped. So if you find yourself in a lifestyle business or you're worried that that might happen to you in the future, you've got to build this commercial sales engine that can allow you to scale beyond the benefits of word of mouth.
Greg, that was incredibly thorough. We now know what the term pivot really means to a boutique professional services firm. And this brings us to the final option, which is to persevere. This option would be sticking with the current plan, but executing it better. Give us your thoughts on this, Greg.
Sure. Well, executing the current plan better, as opposed to pivoting, usually means three things. It can mean swapping out the team, it can mean training the team, or it can mean giving the team more time. A word of caution here. Kicking the can down the road and taking no action is not persevering. That's procrastinating. To prevent yourself from procrastinating, remind yourself of your opportunity cost. The cost of inaction for a founder trapped in a lifestyle business is very large, and it's growing every day. Your prime is X number of years. If you think you have the right strategy, and the key to escaping is better execution, then take a very hard look at the team. Sean, one other thing that I would like to mention here is that the material that I shared with the audience today is not original material of Greg Alexander. I'm standing on the shoulders of giants, people like Stephen Blank, Eric Rice from the Lean Startup, et cetera.
Yes.
And I just wanted to make sure that I gave them proper credit. What I've done is I've curated it and edited it to make it uniquely applicable to the boutique professional services firm. But there's a huge body of knowledge behind this topic. Should I shut the business down? Should I pivot, or should I persevere?
Outstanding, Greg, and thank you for that acknowledgement, because that body of knowledge is accessible to our listeners. I love the way you synthesized it. I love the way you've simplified it. And that's a huge, huge benefit to our listeners. So it's super clear that answering these three questions, do we shut the business down? Should we pivot and course correct? Or do we persevere? Are the keys to getting out of the trap of a lifestyle business. This brings us to the end of this episode. A huge thank you to you, Greg, for sharing this today. If you enjoyed this show and want to learn more, pick up a copy of Greg's book titled The Boutique: How to Start, Scale, and Sell a Professional Services Firm. I'm Sean McGinnis. Thank you for listening.